Oké. Okay. IA voorstelling. Hey, welcome to my talk about Android Auto. My name is Frankie, sometimes with an L. My real name is Frank Bouwens, and I work for Flitsmeister. So, first up, I work for Flitsmeister. I like Android apps. If you see me on the Discord, that's my avatar. So, that's what I look like. So if you see that image, that's me. I'm part of Pixel Bar Rotterdam. Pixel Bar represent. And I've made an open source project for MapLibre. MapLibre creates a map engine for use in Android and iOS. And I've made a contribution to them, which is what we're going to talk about today. Okay, what is Flitsmeister? I'll try to keep this short. Most people probably already know what Flitsmeister is. It's an app for on your phone. Looks like this. We provide the app for Android and iOS. It warns you for speed traps, speed cams, emergency vehicles, traffic jams, roadworks, accidents, all the good stuff that's in my list over there. We also provide navigation. Some people say it's not the best navigation. But that's okay. We don't complain if you use Google Maps as navigation, as long as Flitsmeister runs in the background for your alerts. It's all fine and dandy. And we also provide payments for parking and toll. Toll, yes, there is one tunnel in the Netherlands, the Blankenburgverbinding, and you can pay toll through our app. That's pretty recent. Okay, that's the Flitsmeister One device we sell. That's a Flitsmeister Dash device we sell. But most importantly for the stock, that's Android Auto. Okay, some more about Android Auto. What does it do? First up, you can use it for media apps. Think of music, think of podcasts. There are even some news applications like Algemeen Dagblad. That's a Dutch krant, newspaper brand. And they also do some of their articles as podcasts, and you can listen to them through Android Auto. How does that look? Well, a bit like this. This is VLC, and well, of course, you know VLC can be used to play music on your phone, but they also allow to use it on Android Auto. Okay, another category: messaging apps, SMS, chat. If you get a message through Discord or Telegram, you get a notification on Android Auto. The application developer doesn't really need to do anything special. If your app provides a notification, it works on Android Auto. The next category is templated apps, and that's the important one. Android Auto is made to prevent driver distraction. You don't want your driver to be too distracted. Like, there are laws in multiple countries where you cannot, you know, be messing on your phone, hands-free. So they also want to make sure that you're not too distracted while driving. And that's why Android Auto and also Apple CarPlay, they made templates. So every app has a consistent UI, so people are not distracted too much. Okay, categories, points of interest applications. So for example, McDonald's could make an app, and all the app does is show you a list of locations. You can pick a location, and then another navigation app will take over. Navigation apps like Flitsmeister, but we also have Waze, Google Maps, TomTom, Amigo, ANWB, Sidekick. There are lots of navigation apps available. IoT, that's an interesting one. I'll talk about that at the end of the talk. Weather apps. Some show you the weather on the screen, others they just speak it through your car radio. And a new category, which will be released this month, probably, parked apps. These are apps that are only allowed to be used when your car is in park. Like video apps, which would be distracting, a browser, which can be distracting, and of course, video games. Okay, so what has Flitsmeister to do with Android Auto? What does Flitsmeister do? Well, we use the templates, the UI templates. The templates consist of UI elements and layouts. So, on this side, this is a screenshot from the documentation from developer.android.com. This is what all the navigation apps will look like. So the whole screen will be filled with a map, and the left side will be used for content. Why on the left side? Because this screen is made for cars with the steering wheel on the left-hand side. So if you would drive in a car with the steering wheel on the right, all will be flipped. Okay, so we have some control, but it's less control than we would hope for. We can use these templates like this, and yeah, there's not much we can change about the UI, but that's intended to prevent driver distraction, to make sure all the navigation apps are consistent. We do need to use our own map engine, because Google Maps will not allow you to use the Google Maps engine to create your own navigation app. That's in our terms of services. You can use it for point of interest apps, but not for your own navigation system. That's why we from Flitzmeister chose to use the MapLibre map engine. That's a fork of Mapbox. And yeah, it's open source, so we also contribute back to this project. And it allows us some control over what the map looks like. Furthermore, Android Auto provides some integration where we make use of. One of these things is the instrument cluster. So the instrument cluster, at first when I saw this, I was like, what the fuck is an instrument cluster? It's a screen that's behind your steering wheel. Not all cars feature this. Like some cars only have like these two dials, one for RPM, one for speed. Well, some cars have like a little screen in the center where you can provide some extra information. And Android Auto makes some integration with this. So it will show maybe the maximum speed or the next direction for your navigation route. It also provides some integration with the voice assistant. This could be, of course, Google's voice assistant, Google Assistant. And there's also a little interaction with the built-in navigation. Lots of cars feature their own navigation system. And Android Auto makes sure there's only one navigation system active at a time. Like, it would be very annoying if Google Maps says go left, Flitzmeister says go right, and your OEM fourth system says go straight. You don't know where to go. So if a different navigation system takes over, we get an intent to our app and we have to cease operation. Okay. So about this map engine. This map engine we used from MapLibre, it was not meant to be used on Android Auto when it appeared. It was used for just your Android phone and your iPhone, but not on something like this. So how could we make this possible? Well, it was very complicated. It was not obvious how to do it, and there was no documentation whatsoever. And I'll tell you how we did it. We create a non-existing screen, render the map to this fake non-existing screen, take a screenshot, and draw that as our map on Android Auto. It's very convoluted. The performance is horrible, but it works. We asked Google, can you please change the APIs in Android Auto a bit so to make it easier for us to draw a map? And they said, no, you just fix your map engine. Okay, so that's how we did it. Lots of other apps also use MapLibre, and because it was complicated, not obvious, and there was no documentation, we've been asked to provide a sample app to show all the other apps how it's done. And that's what we did. I spent about maybe 2 weeks perfecting the perfect MapLibre Android Auto sample app. And there are at least two other apps that are using this for their own apps. One is Vietmap, which is like the largest navigation provider of Vietnam. And the other one is Curvinger. That's an application from Germany meant for people who drive motorcycles. Yes, motorcycles also run Android Auto. Especially Honda Goldwings. I would say it's a car. Okay, so feel free to have a look at this GitHub page whenever you're ready. I've made a little diagram about how this works in technical terms. So for the people who make Android apps, you can split your code in packages, of course, as any Java application does, but you can also split it in modules. And that's what we did here. So all the car-related stuff for Android Auto is in the car common package in module, and you can use that from your app package. That's the same result, the same APK that will go onto your regular Android phone. But you can also use it from the automotive module. So it doesn't only work on cars with Android Auto, but also on cars with Android Automotive. There is a difference, yeah. So the difference is on one car, you could see it as everything runs on your phone. Your car is just like connecting a screen through HDMI. With Android Automotive, the car runs the Android app. So you can use it standalone. You can use it without having your phone. So it's it works for both. There's a lot of code. I won't go through it because it's really boring, complicated, and non-obvious. But if you ever want to create your own application that uses Android Auto, here's the code. Use it and have fun. Okay, now back to the presentation. What can we as hackers do with this? The part you've been waiting for. Okay, so first off, we are hackers. We like Home Assistant. This is what we can do with Android Auto. Your Android phone, if you install the Home Assistant app, will provide a lot of sensors. These sensors can show up in your Home Assistant, one of which is just Android Auto if it's connected or not. The charging status, car fuel. Well, this can also say electricity if your car is electric. The name of your car, odometer. Be aware, not every car actually supplies this information. That's a shame. Android Auto gives you an optional, like a nullable int or string or whatever. And sadly, my car doesn't give this information, and neither does this Ford Focus in a box. You can also install the Home Assistant app on your phone, connect it to your car, and this is what you would see. So the first screen, Home Assistant, it will ask you, do you want to press some buttons? Do you want to control some ventilators, some fans, lights, etc.? And there's also a part for navigation. In the navigation, you could store a list of common locations. So like your house, your work, other places. And you pick one from the list and it will open your actual navigation app to actually navigate to that. It's not like Home Assistant is a navigation app now. I also clicked the lights section and this is what it would look like. This is the IoT that you can do on Android Auto. Because Home Assistant is pretty customizable, you as a hacker can just use this and make Android Auto pretty much do whatever you want. Another way is sideloading apps. By default, on a real car, Android Auto will not allow you to use sideloaded apps. It will only allow apps that are installed through an official app store. These are, at this moment, Google Play Store and Samsung apps. App stores that want to approve car apps need to be licensed by Google as well to make sure that only apps that uphold some restrictions can actually run on real cars. There is a debug mode for developing apps. Works great on a laptop. But if you want to do it on a real car, well, that's your solution. The AA Wireless can allow you to run a debug mode on real cars. Great for debugging, because the alternative would be you create a release build of your app, send it off to the Google Play Store, and in the Play Store you can have multiple tracks. You can have like your production track, but you can also have your internal testing track. But still, that would take like 2 hours. Then you can test it on a real car. But yeah, it's release build, so there's no debug logging, no debugger, no breakpoints, no nothing. You found a bug? Wait another 2 hours. Yeah, that's... no. So that's why we use the AA wireless to test on a real car through a side-loaded app. And yes, this could also be used to run, well, literally YouTube. Don't try this at home, but it works. And I can demonstrate on this Ford Focus in a moment. That was my last slide. How am I for time? Oh, only 15 minutes. Okay, I'll demonstrate how this all works on this Ford Focus. Because it's a real car, I have to press a few buttons here. So first, I put in the key, open the door, unlock it, start the engine. There we go. And I have to grab my AA wireless from my backpack to demonstrate. Well, I'm not entirely sure how we got this, but apparently before I started working at Flitzmeister, Ford approached our company like, hey, we have this system. It's called Ford Sync version 3, and we would like Flitzmeister to integrate with this system. And Ford gave us this device. Well, Flitzmeister got some modifications to make sure it worked with Ford Sync 3. They didn't ask for the device back. So it has been in our possession for many years. And we are really happy with it because not only does it run Ford Sync 3, it also runs Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. So both the Android team and the iOS team are like fighting over this device. Let's see, where is my... somewhere. I have too many cables. Okay, so this is the AA wireless version 1. That's the AA wireless version 2. There's not much of a difference. It's just a different size. The Okay, so normally you would have to connect your phone through a USB cable to your car. That's annoying. So that's why this device makes it wireless. Like some cars support wireless out of the box, but most cars, and my car, doesn't. So that's why you would use AA wireless. Okay. See, yep, it already connected to my phone. And this is what it looks like. It runs Flitzmeister. I, of course, have a very special debug version on my phone, so I can show you some examples. So this scenario would be a speed cam. I'll turn up the volume a bit. So this is what it would look like on the screen of a real car. And this UI, this is from the UI templates provided by Google. There's not much we can change about it. We can put our own logo, our own icons, but for example, we could not change the color of this element. We could not change the size, the location. And we cannot even change the duration of how long this UI element would be on the screen. Hey. Well, this device obviously is a car radio, and for a car radio, you want some music. So that also works through the VLC app. I'll stop it. I don't want some copyright strike. Okay, let's look at Home Assistant. Let's see. I don't think it's in alphabetical order, is it? Ah, there we go. So Home Assistant, This is your typical IoT app. I can turn my lights on and off. And well, there's nobody at home, so nobody will be able to verify, but I can turn on my lights. You think I have a camera in my bathroom. I do not. Not that I know of. Okay, and I can show you the little sample app, the Map Libre sample app. It just shows some countries in a colored theme. It's like the default theme for example apps by Map Libre. We can show buttons for zooming in and out, but you can also, if you have a touchscreen, use your fingers to zoom in and out. We can show toast messages, as they would be called. And we have some menu items we can use. And because the map engine, we can render everything we want. We could literally render YouTube inside of this. Exactly. If you render anything you like to the surface, it could be anything you like. You might have heard of an app called NewPipe. NewPipe is an open source YouTube client. I only needed 4 lines of code to enable it on Android Auto. It was that easy. Because they already render to a surface. So there's no need for all these screenshotting and stuff. I just said, oh, don't render to this surface, render to that surface, and done. And the car thinks it's a navigation app. I'll show you the YouTube app. It's called Fermata. Absolutely. Yeah. I can watch YouTube while on the background Google Maps or Flitzmeister is active. And if so, there will just be a notification bar on the top of the screen with whatever notification you need. Buffy or someone else, can you send me a message on Discord or WhatsApp and we can demonstrate what that looks like? I'll turn off the screen of my phone. So I'll start some YouTube video. It does not support ads, as you can see. So the ads are glitched. Are you sending a message, Buffy? Oh, Discord? Oh, I see. Ah, the demonstration effect. Okay, so I received a WhatsApp message here. Oh, it's because my laptop is active. The Discord notification doesn't reach my phone. Okay, anyone got me on WhatsApp? SMS? Okay, I'll... Ah, there you go. So this notification will just appear over whatever is running. Yeah, you can prevent it by disabling notifications for certain apps, something like that. And like I have a neighbor who really likes to send me messages through WhatsApp, especially when I'm driving. So in this notification, there was a button read out loud and mark as read, but the last button is dampen, so mute. And from that moment on, this app will no longer show you messages, but for this session. If you start a new driving session, it will work again. Because, yeah, it's really annoying sometimes. So, yeah, yeah, that's pretty much how Android Auto works. We from Flitzmeister use it for our app. We made an open source library, and I hope I inspired you all to try to make something for Android Auto, if your car supports it, of course. If you have a Tesla, it's a maybe. Why is it a maybe? Because natively, Tesla does not support Android Auto nor Apple CarPlay, but Tesla has a browser. In this browser, you could run a certain web page that connects through your phone through some VPN, and poof, suddenly there's Android Auto on your Tesla. But you have to pay for it, and you have to pretend you're from Germany. It's a hassle, but it's doable. Okay, are there any questions? Yeah, I see a question. Yes. Well, I found out with normal cars, it's the handbrake. Yeah, but I figured out that if I do my handbrake just like a little bit, I can still drive. It works, but my car also has this annoying ding, ding, ding. So yeah, that's how it checks. It could be a bit more clever and check like your speed, but no, it does not check your speed. Maybe I should try that out. Let's see. That could be. Not every car is the same, of course. Library and... Okay. I need to find another cable. Let's try it out. Desktop. Was it again? Yep. Desktop head unit. USB. Okay, so this is the debugging tool that Google provides us with. And you can use ini files to create different versions of this head unit. And it will also allow you to... pretend you're driving. Okay, so there is one game pre-installed. It's called Game Snacks, like this. Okay, so I'll start a game. Apparently it uses cookies, okay. Accept all. Okay, and now I have to double check the documentation because I forgot which command you can do to pretend you're driving. No worries, I'm a professional. Test cars. Command line options, here. And microphone, sensor, day and night, focus, restrictions. Okay, so I just press U, Shift U. Ah. You can see that the icon turned gray. So if I enable the restrictions, it just kills the app. Is that also what happens with your car? Well, it checks for restrictions, and what that would be in the background in the API, that could be different depending on your car. But most cars I've tried just have a binary switch for the handbrake. Okay, any more? Yep. We can send information to the instrument cluster. Yeah. Well, we found out recently that we had a bug where if you need to turn left, it actually shows you have to turn right. We've managed to fix that. I can show you what that looks like. Okay, so that's this one. Okay, so regular car screen, and that would be the instrument cluster that's behind your steering wheel. Let's see, and I have to open Flitzmeister, this one. If cars are really self-driving, then we're probably fucked, because we would need Flitzmeister if the car drives themselves. Let's see. Okay, I'll oh, right. This is just going straight. I need to find a more complicated route, I think. Do I have a complicated route? Oh, I can just say, let's go to Veenendaal. Nope, doesn't work. There we go. So in this case, we don't have a lot of control about what it looks like. And on the car screen, you can see that the arrow has like a different font, I would say, compared to the instrument cluster. Because what the instrument cluster shows is determined by the car brand itself. We only send information. So we say turn left, turn right, how many meters left. Well, apparently 100 meters is too much for this specific instrument cluster to show. That's a shame. Let's see, does this support the auto-drive thing? Apparently I removed that feature. That's a shame. Yeah, there we go. So you can see that the... Yeah, very nice text-to-speech then. So you can see that the information we provide on the car screen, it would be copied to the instrument cluster screen. But other than that, no big revelations there. Another thing I found a bit interesting is that not all car screens have the same resolution. The most common resolution is this one. This would be 800 by 480. But there are cars that have like bigger screens or wider screens. And that also has influence on how the other elements of Android Auto look. Like for instance, on this screen, you have a bar on the bottom with your recently used apps. On a wider screen, they would move it to the left side of the screen, like vertical. It's pretty interesting. Okay, I'll start the other emulator. Let's see, so that would be wide, I think. No, not that one. Default underscore white.ini. Thank you, demo gods. Default white.ini. So this is how it would look like on a car with a wider screen. And the Kia Sportage actually has this resolution. So this is a real thing. And it will also allow you to view two apps side to side. So we would call this a split screen. See? Split screen like that. The SDK allows us to get information from the car, as I mentioned, like odometer and stuff like that. But in my experience, I haven't found any car yet that actually gives us any information. So I hope with the new electric car revolution, cars will be a bit smarter and will actually give us information like, the state of your car battery. And we could maybe integrate that with a message like, hey, you only have 10% of your battery left. Maybe you should find a charger, something like that. Okay, so I hope I inspired you. Let's create something for Android Auto, something that's definitely not recommended because that's what hackers do. Question. Of course we have that. Let me show you. Let's see. We call it achievements. Okay, running device, Samsung. Oh, that's a bit much. Yeah, it's trying to render non-existing screens, as you can see. Okay, achievements. There we go. Apparently, I've upgraded to Pro, so I'm an ambassador now. My 0 to 100 sprint is 2.022 seconds. I've been driving nonstop for 7 days, apparently, and my top speed is 146 kilometers an hour. we get GPS from your phone, but some cars also have GPS hardware included in the car itself, and we can use that. Yeah. Sometimes it's more accurate, but usually just use the phone. Playing Doom on a car screen? Sounds like a challenge. Maybe I'll think about it. we don't get the information from that, sorry. We don't. Like if I change the volume on this thing, doesn't show here, but we don't get that information. No. The cars really don't give a lot of information. We could connect like an OBD2 connector for Bluetooth and get some more information, but we don't want more information. If we have too much information, the police will go like, oh, you have a lot of information. Can we see your information? And we rather be like, we don't have anything. Nothing to see here, exactly. No headaches. There are lots of things we do not log, and you can read all about it in our privacy statement. We do not get the first 5 minutes or 5 kilometers of your drive. We also delete the last 5 kilometers or minutes from your drive, so we could never find your home and work address. Every time you start the app, it generates a random session number, so it's not linked between drives from a certain phone. You're all anonymized as soon as you open the app. Okay, any more questions about running Android on a car? Or no? No more questions? Oh, yep. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, or they said we'll think about it and never responded. Yeah, they more specifically told me like the way we would render this map normally is through an Android view, but they don't want to allow Android views on Android Auto, because that would make it way too easy to make things that are distracting. So that's why they make us go jump through the hoop to get it on a surface. And in the first version, they didn't allow us to capture any touches from the screen either. But yeah, now they do. So technically, we could just render a full application off screen, screenshot it, show it on the car, and relay the touches, and technically we could. But that's why every app that runs on Android Auto or Automotive needs to be go through the review process from the App Store. And like a real human person will see this and go like, no, that's not a navigation app. Yes. Yes. Technically, it's weird, but they don't check the source code. They only check like a human would. So if we don't go overboard, this is fine. Technically, we could. Like, we're not going to in our release app, of course, but who's to say someone here could make an app that does exactly that? we heard from a lot of people that the navigation is actually better on Google Maps compared to Flitzmeister, and in some locations I would agree. So just run Flitzmeister in the background, you should still get the notifications, like the little notification on the top of the screen, the same as with the WhatsApp message. So yeah, don't worry about it. Question. Yeah. For now. Yeah. I think I heard some rumors about Denmark and Spain. But that's not my department. Well, the app technically works in Germany, but you're not allowed to have the speed cam feature enabled. And all the other functions would work normally. Yeah. Yeah, so you go to the settings and you can go turn off certain notifications. Like, there are many people that don't want to receive bumpy road notifications, slecht wegdek, because in Belgium, you get that notification every, like, 30 seconds. So people would tend to turn that off, and we've made toggles for every type of melding alert we do. No, I don't think that's a paid feature. No, I think that's a free feature. So, yeah, for Germany, we're not allowed to give you those notifications, but if you keep that enabled, it will work. Yeah. It's all community generated content. So if someone in Germany is using Flitzmeister, and yeah, there is no boundary check. So you could notify for a Flitzer in whatever country, anywhere, it would work. Yeah, you have to turn it off manually. But the tolls, that's quite an interesting thing how that works. So the Blankenburg Verbinding here in the Netherlands, that's the first completely automated toll tunnel. You don't have to stop at a booth and, you know, hand cash. They just scan your license plate. The ANPR, automatic number plate recognition thing, it scans your license plate, and that's done by, I think, RDW. that's a government agency, they would just check, okay, so this license plate, is it subscribed to a payment app? That could be Flitsmeister, that could be 4411, that could be Move Easy. There are eBay, I guess, there are multiple apps that provide this feature. And if so, they hand it off to that respective app and they handle it. If not, you have 2 weeks to go to their website and pay through their website. So it's all an automated process through number plate recognition. I'm not exactly certain about the details. That's more like a back-end type of thing to know. That's pretty much how it works. And I think there are plans to have this system European-wide. Any other questions? No? I think I... I only had 30 minutes, so... filled it up nicely. Great. Thank you for attending my talk and go make something. Be a hacker.